One doesn't have to be a student of history to realize that there has always been a division among people which pits a few above all the rest. These privileged few have represented the socioeconomic upper tiers of society, comprised of religious leaders, maybe, in the past, commercial leaders, political leaders of high office. They have always been in control over everyday life. They set themselves apart with the attitude that they owe nothing to life, but life owes everything to them. Common man exists so that the privileged few are able to maintain their privileged and extravagant lifestyle. Therefore, whatever they have had to do to maintain this lifestyle and privileged status was perfectly okay and justified, for this kept the established social order in place. Laws, then, are seen as having been made for others, not for the privileged few. In fact, laws were made to suppress the common man in order to enhance the life of the privileged. This is a lesson of history that we have seen. With the advancement of knowledge, technology, and the sophistication of society, one would think that mankind would see such a social flaw as unacceptable and antiquated. But as you and I know, that is far from the truth. Today we still see how the dual standard of justice plays out in society. The privileged few are alive and well. You only have to look at our entertainers, the sports figures, as well as those who control corporate America and those who govern our nation. In general, they think they are beyond the edicts of common law and decency. The problem is that our society seems to accept a dual standard of justice and even condone it. For some reason, we turn our heads and accept and even make heroes out of our entertainers, sports figures, CEOs, and politicians, regardless of how they act. Thus, by and large, they get by with the breaking of the laws and the exploitation of people. Just look at the out-and-out robbery which goes on in all levels of government, and we know it. On the rare occasion that someone privileged is caught and punished, the public responds with mixed emotions. Some are elated that privilege was overcome by justice, or at least the resemblance of justice, even though the punishment may be far less severe than for the common person. On the other hand, there are those who remorse in any punishment given. It is very strange and alarming. Very strange and alarming that there seems to be that aspect of human nature which accepts being exploited by the privileged few. It may fulfill that need within us to live out our fantasies through someone else's life. This is transference, and in reality, a fantasy mindset. To have this fantasy life broken helps to shatter the joy which we may find in vicariously living our lives through those we place on a pedestal or as heroes, the privileged few in our society. Therefore, in a very peculiar way, we support a dual standard of justice, which protects the few. This, in many cases, signals a society in decline. But what is new? What is new? There is nothing new in all this, since we have only to look at our Old Testament lesson for today. Here we have King David, who was loved and revered by all the Israelites, even to today. He was the hero who was set upon the pedestal of having the ultimate privileged life. He was chosen by the people to be their king. He had all and even more than he could want or desire. Being such a privileged person, he could do nothing wrong in the eyes of the people and ultimately in the way he viewed himself. Well, you know the story. One day, while walking about on the palace roof, which, by the way, the roof was a part of the living quarters of a home. It was flat, and it was a part of the living quarters. While walking on the roof, he so happened to look out, and he spotted a beautiful young woman, not too far, on her roof, taking a bath. Well, to say the least, she gained his full and immediate and undivided attention. And he became so consumed by her that he had to find out who this young woman was. As it turned out, she was the young wife of one of his warriors, who was away at battle. Started to click. Yielding to temptation and thinking he was beyond the rule of law and standards of the day, he summoned her to join him at the palace. Well, as you know, trouble had to be brewing. The visit turned out to be no ordinary visit. For the young woman, Bathsheba, ended up becoming pregnant. Now, this is one of the most revered and famous leaders in Hebrew history. A seemingly chosen one of God. The writer of many inspired psalms. And yet, he fell to the sin of adultery. He had broken one of God's commandments. Well, now the story really gets interesting. If that was not enough, when he found out that she was pregnant, he made things even worse by trying to cover it up. Now, this is the first inclination after a misdeed, which we have witnessed. We like to cover it up. That is the first inclination, isn't it? We see it happening all the time.
Now,
so he thought, well, I'll send for her husband, Uriah, and give him leave so as to give him the opportunity to be with his wife. Of course, the plan was to give the appearance that the pregnancy was through Uriah. But he didn't figure on this. The cover-up failed because Uriah was a very devoted soldier, a warrior, a comrade in arms, who didn't think it was right to have this privilege of coming home to be with his wife while his fellow warriors were still in battle. So he declined the offer to come home. Oh my, what to do? What to do now? David's first cover-up plan failed. So now something more drastic had to be done. After all, being in such a privileged position meant you could not be seen doing anything wrong. He had too much to lose here. Therefore, the ultimate act of privilege, which involved thinking of oneself above and beyond the law, had to be played out. And he found it. The ultimate exploitation of a person had to come into reality. Uriah had to be strictly removed from life. David thus gave explicit orders to the commander of the battle to have Uriah placed in the fiercest part of the battle. And not only that, then allow him to be stranded so that the enemy would kill him. Wow. A cover-up. How's that for a good scheme and cover-up empowered by being in a privileged position? Everything went as planned. Uriah was killed in battle. And David took Bathsheba as his wife. Now he must have felt pretty good about himself and his privileged life. No one would be the wiser as to what occurred. Think again. That was not until he was confronted by the prophet Nathan, who was sent by God. Nathan entrapped David by telling him the story of how a rich man exploited his poor neighbor by taking the poor man's only lamb and killing it for a piece for a wayfarer. This was done even though the rich man had a whole flock of sheep. Now, when David heard this, he responded with anger. Anger towards this rich man's act of pure greed. And as king, he was ready to apply justice to this case. But then, Nathan then dropped the bombshell. The cat was out of the bag, David. Nathan proceeded to tell him that he, David, was that man. He went on with this condemnation. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your home, for you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. David's privileged mindset had caught up with him. He had to face the reality of himself. God had brought him down to reality. And he responded, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan responded that although God had forgiven him, there was a price to be paid. And Nathan continued, nevertheless, by this deed you have utterly scorned the Lord. The child that is born to you shall die. Even though David had repented, and even though God had forgiven him, there was still a price to be paid. God's justice, as well as his love, was and is for all, no matter what society privilege may say. In comparison to David, many of the privileged upon being caught never see or acknowledge their wrongdoing, since they still feel above and beyond the law. Therefore, they never repent and cannot and will not be forgiven, even though society may turn a blind eye to it. But with repentance, even though punishment may be experienced, there is also forgiveness. God's grace reaches out to even the worst of the sinners. David, if there's real repentance, this was vividly seen in our gospel lesson in the story of the repentant sinful woman. Your sins are forgiven, were the life-giving words of Jesus. But those who view themselves as privileged and beyond the law place themselves beyond God's grace. The lesson is that nobody is beyond the power of sin. No matter what your societal status is, but through repentance, nobody is beyond the forgiveness of God's grace. Nobody. On the other hand, as long as there are those who feel that their privileged status place them beyond the law of exploitation of others, and so long as they are protected from justice being served, there'll be a terrible price to be paid, not only by them, but by us and by future generations. Rest assured, there is no dual standard of justice in God's kingdom of eternal love. Privilege may come with its earthly rewards, but may quickly bring disastrous results and a price to pay throughout life's eternity. That's the story of David. It's the story of God's grace. That's the story of forgiveness. That's the story of repentance. Simple as that. Amen.